Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. And we're almost at the end of the year. And today's show is going to have several different topics today. The first topic is going to be the high school championships. We're going to talk about the Class 5A state championship for the private side, Catholic High and Byrd High School. We're going to talk about Class 2A, Manny and Kinder. All those games were played yesterday. We're going to go over those. We're also going to talk about college coaching changes in the country for football and also LSU. And I'm going to talk about recruiting, how LSU might finish in recruiting, a little bit more about the players left. And we're going to talk about the Saints a little bit and a little bit about LSU basketball. But let's go ahead and start in segment one. We're going to talk about the high school championships from the weekend, which was yesterday. We'll go over what happened. So it's kind of weird talking about high school football championships on a Sunday to start off. You know, I'm so accustomed to, you know, Friday or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But it's really a different type of setup. Obviously, everything in 2020 has been everything's been different. But I'm just glad that we're able to play the championships. I really am. And they're being played in Natchitoches, Louisiana, Turpin Stadium, and in the home of Northwestern State University. And I think it's just great that we're able to get them in. But, again, it's just for me, over 30 years, you know, it's the first time I can remember the games were starting on a Sunday. Kind of throws you off a little bit. Probably everybody else, too. Well, let's talk about Class 2A, the first game yesterday, which was Manny beating Kinder to win their second state championship, but their first since 2014. Led by head coach Jess Curtis. This is Jess Curtis's second state championship. That's Hall of Fame stuff. He's had a great program the last 7 years, really. They've been a powerhouse for at least 7 years. And when I started my magazine back in 1997, when I became a part of the magazine, Manny was really good. In the early 2000s, they had a head coach at the time by the name of David Feaster, but they didn't get to this stage. They didn't get to this mountain. Remember, they had a kid named Darnell Williams that was one of the great players that we covered back in the early 2000s. But they beat Kinder 16-13 for a state championship. Kinder really fought, I thought, as hard as you can play. I expected this. Maybe not this close, but I expected Kinder to give him a game. I think it was a really good showing by, you know, Manny's just, like I said, they were on a mission. That school had been, you know, since 2014, trying to get back, trying to win another one. With many great players over the years, and they had great players in 2019 and 2018 and 2017 and 2016. They just came up short, but two state championships in 6 years is pretty awesome. And Manny's got a team that can come back and challenge again next year. They have a lot of young talent mixed with some older talent. They'll have a new quarterback next year. They'll have to revamp their offensive line. But their defense is going to be pretty awesome again. And they're going to have another good running back coming back and some great receivers. Look for Manny to be in the hunt again next year. And congratulations to Kinder being runner-up. I know that's hard to say if you're a Kinder fan listening, but, hey, you made the state title game. A lot of people would have loved to have been in a state championship. You always got to look at what you accomplished, too, in a tough season. But the experience being in a state championship game is phenomenal. And again, my hat's off to Jess Curtis in Manny High School, which was really winning this in their backyard. You know, I mean, I think they had maybe a 30-minute drive to the stadium, if that. Class 2A champs, Manny High School. I predicted this one. So I'm getting a lot of the winners right, but I didn't get all the playoff game wins right. But I did predict Manny would win this about 6 weeks ago. Some of them I didn't get right. But I've got a good chance to close strong with the state championship title winners. And on the 5A side, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about Class 5A. And just for layman terms, you know, people don't know Division IV, but Catholic High beat Byrd High School to win the state championship, which is the Class 5A level on the private side. But we'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. And we're going to talk about Byrd and Catholic High, the Bears and the Yellow Jackets. They had a great game this past Sunday. And we'll be right back. And we'll have also, we'll talk LSU basketball later in the show, as well as coaching changes in college football and also LSU. And maybe a little bit about the Saints. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I am your host, Lee Burkeen. Today's show, we're covering a lot of different topics. We're going to continue to talk about the high school championships. We have games every day. Every day. And what I'm going to do is that, you know, when our next show is going to be Wednesday. Wednesday show, we'll recap all the Monday and Tuesday games. And Friday's show, we'll recap the Thursday game. Which would be, you know, every day we'll just recap every game that had been played the days prior. But continuing on, the Catholic High Bears of Baton Rouge won their state championship in school's history by defeating Byrd High School 35-12. It's the second state championship title for Coach Gabe Fertitta. His second state title, man, incredible. He's only been a head coach 4 years. He's won 2 in 4 years. It's incredible. And then Dale Weiner won the first one, his final season. But they've won 3 state championships in basically 5 years, I believe. 3 out of 5. That's incredible. And they beat a very good Byrd High School team. Byrd was senior laden. They had size and speed, and they got the future's bright, by the way, for Byrd. Byrd's got a sophomore quarterback. Byrd's also got a lot of young sophomores that played a lot that are going to be juniors. They're going to have to rebuild a little bit, but Byrd's still going to be very good next year. Catholic High, on the other hand, is very young. It's scary how much ability or how much potential they have for the next 2 years. They could end up winning 3 in a row. They have a young sophomore receiver. He's only a freshman right now, and Shelton Sampson. Excuse me, he's going to be a junior, Shelton Sampson. I'm getting old. I watched his dad play at Redemptorist, Shelton Sampson, Jr., who went to Northwestern State University and played running back, was a big running back at 6 foot, about 220. His son is 6'4", 215. And he's going to be a heck of a receiver. He's going to be one of the top 3 receivers in the country. And then the MVP of the game was Trey Benson, who's only a sophomore. And I was mentioning in our podcast about a week ago, me and Jace Lejeune were talking, my editor, and we were talking about keys to the game against Byrd. And I said that Catholic was beat up at running back and they needed a big game from Trey Benson. And sure enough, Trey Benson was the MVP. With 4 catches for 140 yards with a 78-yard touchdown. And he's only a sophomore. And they've got a freshman quarterback that played. He's going to be a sophomore. They've got most of their offensive line back. They got a big-time D1 player on their O-line. And the top kicker punter in Louisiana for next year is Kylan Dupree, who's only a junior this year. So, I mean, this team is loaded, loaded with talent. And I hate to see anybody lose this game. I hate to see, you know, Kinder lose against Manny 16-13. But when you get to a state championship game, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. Like my dad used to tell me, it's, you know, somebody's going to lose. But Bird has nothing to be ashamed of. They hold their heads up straight and high because they had a phenomenal season. The Bird Yellow Jackets out of Shreveport. They'll have several kids on that team that are seniors, class of 221 seniors, that'll sign college scholarships. One of the top in the state's already signed with Louisiana Tech, Carson Bruno, who's 6'4", 290. He's going to play offensive line in college, was a D-tackle for Bird. They have several seniors that'll have an opportunity to go to a small school or even a bigger school. But, being, you know, the game was 35-12. Catholic, you know, beat just about everybody you can talk about in the state in 5A this year. They did lose to Edna Carr early in their season, which I think was a great scheduling game for Coach Fatita. But they beat Ruston. They beat Acadiana. They beat Brother Martin. I mean, they beat a lot of great programs. Rommel. I mean, a lot of great teams. You know, look at all the great running backs at Catholic High over the years. You know, Kevin Franklin, Darius Geis, Clyde Edwards-Hellier, Warwick Dunn. And then Trey Benson gets to put his name up there as one of the top running backs in state championship games. They had Kendrick Shanklin. They had a lot of good running backs at Catholic High. You can never have too much talent. You can never have too many playmakers because just like college football, pro football, you watch all the games over the weekend, there's a lot of injuries late in the season. And when you have a guy like Trey Benson who's only a sophomore and you have two injuries to two of your top backs and he's as good as any of them, that's why they win state championships because they had five running backs to start the season that could play and ended up with about two healthy running backs. And he did a great job. What's scary, again, like I said, 2022, Catholic High will be favored again. They'll be favored to win two in a row. Three out of the last 5 years coming up. They'll be favored again to win it all in Class 5A on the private side. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about LSU football and recruiting. Just some names to look for. There's five scholarships left, technically four, because LSU is going to get a signature from Savion Jones from St. James, a big, talented defensive end. But that leaves LSU basically with four scholarships to make 25. We're going to talk about that when we come back. After that, we're going to talk about coaching changes in college football, including LSU. They've gotten rid of a lot of their assistant coaches, which was expected. And I'm going to give my two cents on that as well. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. We've got several topics today. We went over the state championship games that were played Sunday. We're talking this segment. We're going to talk about LSU football and recruiting, how they might finish in recruiting. Before we do that, I want to give a shout-out and a plug to one of my sponsor right now. It's John Harvey Toyota. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty, check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. They support high schools. They support college football, pro football, big college supporters statewide, and especially in the Bossier City, Shreveport area and around up to Natchitoches in Ruston, Louisiana. Let's talk about LSU football this segment. Let's talk about what's left. And I'm going to give out some names that people don't hear on the internet because college coaches have a board, and they call it a war room board. And that's not for the public. And basically what they have is they go out and recruit 10 to 12 kids per position, and they narrow it down to about two or three kids come signing day. They narrow it down to who they want, and then they have another kid or two that they're going to maybe go after if there's another signing period, which there will be February 3rd. And what I mean by that is that let's just take LSU for example. They've got a board where they've got to fill basically four spots. But they've probably got 20 kids on that board still. And it's a variation of positions. Meaning if they lose their top four players to finish their four openings, then they've got another four. And after that, they have another four. And there's different combinations. There's different needs. All right, and you have to go biggest need. And look, if you're listening to the show, it's not about most talented player. It's about need. And Coach Orgeron hinted about that the other day at the end of signing day. He said, if you don't sign with the first time and we offered you, you might not get an offer the second time because it's about need now. You got to hit those needs. And I'm a big need person when recruiting. You know, you can be ranked the third best class in the country, but if you don't fill your needs, then you failed. You know, you've got to fill your needs. You got to replenish the talent at all positions, especially the offensive line, which usually when you concentrate on a position for another signing date, you usually will fill it. Just depends on how talented you will fill it. Will you fill it with junior college players, transfers, or high school kids? I like the high school kid part because you get these kids for 3, 4, 5 years. If you get a junior college kid or a graduate transfer, you might get 1 year out of these guys. And that leaves a hole. And you keep chasing, trying to improve that depth chart, but you take too many transfers, too many junior college players, especially O-line or D-line, you're always going to have a hole. And that's why you see Ole Miss and Mississippi State always have depth problems because they always lose guys every 2 years at O and D-line because they recruit those junior colleges really hard in Mississippi. And I don't blame them. But at the same time, you have to be on your game to evaluate these D and O linemen. You can't get them wrong because if you're wrong, then you're not going to be very good on the offense and defensive line, which means you're not going to have a good season. And so let's look at what's left for LSU to fill four spots. And you might say, Lee, it's really five. Well, the fifth kid is Savion Jones, who's already committed to LSU from St. James High School, defensive end. He just needs to make it official. So he's 21. And that leaves him with four spots. And the most common names people see on the internet, for most fans, is Brian Thomas is left with Walker High School, receiver. You got Logan Riggs with Archbishop Rummel, who's a running back slash linebacker. He's a linebacker. He could be a Patrick Queen for LSU. There's this offensive lineman that everybody's been hearing about. It's Kemo McAnally. Kemo is his first name. He's out of Niceville, Florida, which is an hour from Tallahassee. He's 6'4", about 290. He's committed to Florida State. He didn't sign an early signing date. He's committed, but LSU's trying to get him to sign with LSU. He's a guard or center. He could play tackle, but he's really a natural guard. There's Eric Wilson, who's the top offensive lineman in the transfer portal right now. He's got 1 year left. He's from Harvard College. He's committed to Auburn, but he's also looking around now that Auburn fired basically the guys that recruited him on that staff. Eric Wilson, 6'4", 310 pounds, and has great feet, super strong. He was the best lineman. If the Ivy League would have played football this year, he was the best offensive lineman in the whole league. Liam Shanahan, who's currently at LSU, was his teammate, and Liam was one of the top three or four. This gives you an idea of how good Eric Wilson was. He's also considered a top three-round draft pick. Eric Wilson could come in and start right away at guard for LSU. He could be a tackle, too, if needed. But he would be a difference maker. You don't want him going to Auburn, too, because he would start for Auburn and you got to play against him, and he would be an all-SEC type of offensive guard. So if LSU can get Eric Wilson and get this kid Chemo, and the third lineman they're trying to get is Tristan Lee from Virginia, who's one of the top 30 players in the country, 6'5", 315 pounds, runs a 5-flat 40. He's just a franchise tackle. If they lose out on Tristan, they just can't get another one like him. Okay, there's not like you can, oh, let's get this other. Nope, they're nowhere near as good as Tristan. Tristan's a once out of a 10-year period guy that you can sign. And LSU's been recruiting for 3 years. LSU's probably got, you know, 7 million miles on the airplane trying to recruit this kid going back and forth to Virginia, and he's been to LSU three times. But he's also been to Oklahoma three times. He's also been to Florida. He's also visited Ohio State. It's going to be a battle. But here's the combination that can end up differently. If LSU loses Tristan Lee, which there's a 50% chance they're not going to get him, and if they do get Eric Wilson from Harvard and this guy Chemo McAnally from Niceville, Florida, if they get those two and lose Eric and then Tristan Lee, then you got two open spots. It could be Brian Thomas from Walker, Logan Riggs, I think, from Rummel as a linebacker. That could be the option. And you might just get Eric Wilson. They might just get Eric Wilson, and then you won't be really fulfilling your depth on O-line, but that could be the way it works out. If they just get Eric Wilson, then they could sign Brian Thomas, Logan Riggs. I'm going to give you some other names. Destin Pazon from Edna Carr, who's committed to Florida State on signing day from Edna Carr. He decommitted from Florida State. He's been offered by Florida, Alabama. He's 6'1", 190. Phenomenal receiver. Ask Catholic High Baton Rouge about him. Ask all those coaches in New Orleans how good Destin is. He runs a 4.440. Phenomenal hands. And he could play DB for LSU. Destin would love to go to LSU, and he would be a phenomenal player. There's also Kobe Fields, a linebacker from Rummel, who's committed to Memphis but did not sign. 6'1", about 210, runs a 4.5, big-time linebacker. And here's a name to remember. Eric Randall, the son of Eric Randall Sr., who played at Southern University as a quarterback. Eric Randall Jr. is a cornerback, 6'1", 185. He's big time. I've seen him play for 4 years. He started at Baker High School, and he finished at Woodlawn of Baton Rouge. He's committed to Memphis. He did not sign with Memphis on signing day. He would be a great corner. Now, if LSU choose to go with another DB, you can stay in state and do that by taking either Destin Pazon or Eric Randall. If you want to add a linebacker, you can go with Logan Riggs or Kobe Fields from the same school. And there's also two other kids in Louisiana if LSU wanted to sign one of these two, and they're very good players. They're both committed to ULL of Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns. Kendrell Williams from Karen Crow is a running back, but would be a great linebacker at 5'11", 215, runs a 4.5 in the 40. And you also have Cameron George, who I just think is phenomenal, a defensive end from Acadiana. They're going to compete for a state championship again pretty soon this week. Cameron 6'2", about 245, runs about a 4'8", 940. They're both committed to ULL, but they didn't sign. And there's also another player who could be a great DB at LSU. And everybody looks at him as a receiver, but he could be a great DB. It's Tyrus Johnson, who's committed to Memphis. Another Memphis commitment. Did not sign, though, on signing day. And then you got Jordan Gilbert, if you want another safety from U-High. He's been offered by Texas A&M, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Oklahoma. He's 6'1", about 180. He's a late bloomer, came on his senior year at U-High, be a free safety or a strong safety. And then there's another player, if you want to go with a D-tackle, if this kid qualifies, from out of Miami Palmetto High School, his name is Savion Collins. He's one of the top 10 players in Florida, 6'4", 290 D-tackle. So there's a lot of options here. It's a matter of what do you want. Do you want three linemen, O-linemen, and Brian Thomas? Or do you want three O-linemen and a linebacker? Or three O-linemen and a DB? Or two O-linemen and a DB and a linebacker? Or two O-linemen and two linebackers? Coaches have a hard decision to make. Or two O-linemen and a DN and a D-tackle. But if you think there's only four or five guys to recruit, there's even more than this. There's more players on the list than this. There's a couple of sleeper O-linemen in Louisiana. So LSU has a lot of options. And look at it this way. People get too emotionally involved in recruiting where they don't understand recruiting long term. They're too dead set on the current class, on who you win and who you lose with. But most of these guys that you sign, you don't want them to play. You just want them as a future building foundation for the team, for depth. Most freshmen don't play. This past year was different for LSU. They had to play the whole class because they didn't have anybody on the team left because all those opt-outs. But in a normal year, not many guys play. And if they play, most of the 8 or 10 that play are special teams. So don't get caught up if you don't get this guy, it's going to affect next year. It usually affects the following year and the year after that. Unless you're taking a junior college kid or a graduate transfer. Then you want those guys to come in and contribute immediately or start. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about coaching changes in the United States. And we'll start with LSU. I'm going to give my 2 cents on who I'd like for them to hire. Now, I have nothing to do with the LSU coaching hires, but just people that I know in the business, people that I think would do a great job for LSU in recruiting and coaching, and game day coaching. It's really a three-part deal, coaching, game day coaching, and recruiting. And the fourth one's development of players. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Later in the show, we're going to talk about coaching changes in the United States for college football. This segment, we're going to talk about LSU coaching changes for their assistants. You know, when you fire coaches, you got to be able to bring somebody in that can do a better job. Or, you know, people look at it like, well, we could have kept the other guy. You got to have this really thought out. And, you know, Ed Orgeron has a lot of pressure on him. He's got to finish a class. He's got to sign some big-time players out of his 4 spots left. He's got to interview a bunch of people. And this is all going on during Christmas through New Year's. This is all our, you know, some of our off time here. He has no life. This is why he's making the big bucks. But he's got to interview tons of candidates for several positions. This is a lot of work. This is why they didn't need to be in a bowl game. They got to finish a recruiting class. They got to hire these coaches. And on top of that, you've got to bring in more analysts. You got to replace people. You got to replace every. You got to do all kind of stuff. So this is not the time of year where you get to rest and enjoy fireworks and New Year's and Christmas. Not if you're at Orgeron. You're interviewing people on Zoom. You're interviewing people in person. Some guys are flying in for interviews. Some are doing it over the computer. Some are doing it over the phone. You have their agents on the phone. I mean, this is not just talking to the coach. You got to talk to their agent as well. This is about money. This is about coaches that maybe were fired and still getting paid from another school. So you can get them maybe cheaper. Kind of like they did with Pelini from Youngstown State, but he wasn't the right hire. So let's talk about the coaching changes and the potential hires for LSU. You know, in my 30 years of watching college football and growing up a coach's son, my dad would always teach me about, you know, a lot of stuff about football and obviously, you know, recruiting, evaluation. And, when you know, I started the Louisiana Football Magazine, being a part of it in 1997. I've been scouting since 91. But when you look at coaches, there's a very small pool of coaches to hire in the United States. And we could all go on the internet, and we can all have an opinion, which is very healthy. Everybody thinks differently, and everybody has their opinion. But at the end of the day, there's very few coaches to choose from. It's a very small fraternity of coaches. There's not that many. And then you're fighting for coaches with other colleges. So, you know, when you're an LSU fan, you think everybody wants to come to LSU. That's not always the case. And then when a college coach like Ed Orgeron, the head coach, is trying to hire coaches, he might want to get away from this time hiring people that he knows. But that's what coaches do. They hire people they're familiar with. But in a business model, and Saban has proved this, and I know people hate me bringing the name up, but he's a genius when it comes to a lot of things, but not well-liked here in Louisiana, but I respect him as a business guy and a coach. You hire the best person for the position, not if you know them, not if you worked with them, not if somebody on your staff knows them. LSU's got to hire the best coach, and the best coach to develop players, the best coach to recruit, the best coach for coaching on game day, and the best coach, period, regardless of how you know this coach. And look, in the coaching fraternity, that's not the way it works. But in this case, Ed Orgeron needs to hire people, coaches that are the best. The talent is at LSU if they can get these guys to come back, like Eric Gilbert, their tight end. Austin Daklas on the O-line. They got Liam Shanahan to come back. They're trying to get Ed Ingram to come back on the O-line. They're trying to get Dare Rosenthal to come back because he wouldn't be a high draft pick on the offensive line. They're trying to get Andre Anthony to come back at defensive end, number three, who would not be a high draft pick. Neil Farrell from Alabama, D-tackle, trying to get him to come back because he would not be a high draft pick. And also Glenn Logan from Destrehan, who would not be a high draft pick if drafted at all. Same with Neil Farrell. Same with Dare Rosenthal. Come back for another year. They need to get those guys back so they have a chance to win a championship. That is Ed Orgeron's job. And the other job is to finish the recruiting class. The other job is to hire coaches. There's a lot of pressure on him right now. You're trying to recruit your team back, sign another signing class February 3rd, and hire coaches, several coaches. So let's talk about the coaches. The D-line position, Coach Bill Johnson retired. He's going to stay on as an analyst for another year. I know he has a house in Georgia on a lake. I hear he's got a phenomenal place in Georgia with a beautiful lake where he's going to retire and settle, but he's going to be at LSU for one more year as an analyst, basically to get paid the final money on his contract there. He's retired from LSU. Wouldn't shock me if he went back into pro coaching, though, after he starts fishing for about 6 months. But you got a D-line opening. I think the best candidate for D-line is Bo Davis, the former LSU D-tackle who came from a junior college in Mississippi many years ago, went to Alabama, and was the best D-line coach Nick Saban ever had. Bo Davis got into a little issue there where he was fired at Alabama, but everything's fine. He's a good guy. Everybody's made mistakes in college recruiting, all these guys, even Nick Saban. But Bo Davis, if you don't hire him, Saban will hire him back. He's now clear to coach again. He's a major college recruiter for D linemen. He's a great game day coach. He's a great developer. He's a great coach. So I'd love for LSU to hire Bo Davis for the D-line position, and I think he will get hired at D-line, barring a last-minute change. Offensive coordinator. This is a position that's very overrated to me because if you have the talent, you just got to be knowledgeable enough to just throw the plays out in a game. And it, look, there's a lot of genius offensive coordinators. There's many of them. But you have to have the talent. And LSU has the talent. If they get Eric Gilbert back to go to young Cole Taylor and Max Johnson, Kashawn Boutte, all these receivers that are coming in at LSU, Deion Smith from Jackson, Mississippi, that's coming in, the freshman, he's going to be phenomenal. You know, Jack Besh from St. Thomas More, possibly Brian Thomas might sign with LSU. You got a lot of great receivers coming back. J. Ray Jenkins, who's had a great year from Gina. Coy Moore from Rummel. There's a lot of receiver talent. A lot of talent. A lot of running backs coming in to LSU. You can, you know, this is never, I don't think anybody's going to be happy, whoever they name an offensive coordinator for LSU. I don't think, because everybody's going to want the best. They're going to want the greatest, the Hall of Famous. They're not going to get that guy. Okay? They either have to go to the NFL and get a young offensive mind, not a coach, but not a head coach, not a coordinator, but a young offensive mind, kind of like Joe Brady. And I know they've talked to some young, smart offensive coordinator types for the position from the NFL. That's one side. You can go get an older coach, which I don't think they're going to do. They tried that with Linehan, even though his title was, you know, basically, you know, quarterback coach or whatever you want to call him. He was not the coordinator, but it didn't work out. An older guy didn't relate to the players. Or you go with a young, middle-aged offensive coordinator from college football. That's what I like. I like Graham Harrell from USC. I remember when he played quarterback at Texas Tech. He learned from the best at Texas Tech. Coach Leach. I want a guy from that tree of quarterback knowledge. I want an offensive coordinator that knows how to develop quarterbacks. Graham Harrell's done a phenomenal job doing that. We don't need, LSU doesn't need the greatest offensive mind in the world. They're not going to get that guy. The guy's going to be a head coach in the NFL, or he's going to be a head coach in college football. So you got to go either young from the NFL, a real young guy, quality control guy, or get a proven young college coach, early mid-30s like Graham Harrell. Every coordinator in college football that does well has a good quarterback. But look at the quarterback coaches and the coordinators. And look at the quarterbacks they've developed over time. Graham Harrell's developed a bunch of them. Him and Cliff Kingsbury are two of the greatest coaching tree minds from Texas Tech from Mike Leach. Think Graham Harrell's the right age? You know, early to mid-30s? If that, he might be late 20s. He was actually up for the USC head job at one time, the head coach. He almost got the head job at USC. Let's go to defense coordinator. You can go to the NFL to get a D-line coach to be your coordinator. There's talk that the Coach Nielsen D-line coach for the Saints would be a candidate. I'd have a hard time seeing him leave the Saints to be the defense coordinator at LSU. I think he might be giving advice to Ed. Now, Ed and him coached on the same staff at Ole Miss. He was on the Ole Miss staff when Ed was the head coach at Ole Miss, so they know each other. But the guy that I like here, if Tennessee fires Jeremy Pruitt, which they think he's going to get fired in the next few days, any day, there's talk he's going to get let go by Tennessee. That's who I'd want to be my D coordinator. Jeremy Pruitt. Let me tell you why. He was the best D coordinator that Saban ever had at Alabama. He could develop talent. He can recruit talent. He's a great game day coach. And he knows defense. Now, he's not. I don't think he's a head coach. It's kind of like Mike Archer that used to be the head coach at LSU many years ago, many moons ago. Mike Archer was a great defense coordinator for Bill Ansbarger, but he just wasn't a good head coach. And Jeremy Pruitt can recruit, though. Mike Archer was not a great recruiter. Mike was more of an NFL guy than a college coach, but he was a great defensive coordinator. Now, Jeremy Pruitt, if he's let go by Tennessee, that would be the guy that I wanted, would love LSU to hire. And after that, it's everybody else. There's no guarantee whatever, you know, they've got the young coach for Cincinnati. He's young, though. And, you know, you start hiring coaches from places like Houston, Cincinnati, UAB. You don't know. It's hard to gauge how much they're going to be ready for the SEC. I want an SEC guy that's won an SEC, was a coordinator in SEC, knows the stadiums, the fields. They know the talent level. They're not, it's not, you know, they're ready for it. Pruitt would be the guy. So that's who I'd want on my staff. Jeremy Pruitt, D coordinator, offensive coordinator Graham Harrell, D line coach Bo Davis, and you're set. Now Ed Orgeron, all he has to do is close out this class with the right players, recruit his team back, get Eric Gilbert back at tight end, and recruit his team back. Who knows? You might even get Vincent back at cornerback, you know, who opted out before the season started, Kerry Vincent. He could come back as a nickel corner. That would be a good player back for LSU. He helped win the national championship, actually, in 2019 because he had a key interception against Oklahoma in the playoffs that turned around the game. And Ole Miss, if you remember. That crazy Ole Miss game at Ole Miss in 2019. If it wasn't for Kerry Vincent's interception, Ole Miss might have upset LSU with Joe Burrow at quarterback. We're going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to talk about the other possible coaching changes in the country, the ones that have already happened and who's been replaced already, and how and if it was a good hire, probably. We'll be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report with Lee Brekeen. Hi, everybody. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. Hope Santa Claus gave you some good gifts. And can't wait for this year to be over with. Like many of us, 2020, what a year. 50 years old, never seen a year like this in my life. Never thought I would, but with lots of prayer and stay positive, everything's going to get better. That's the great American way. And just prayers to everybody out there in the United States that everybody has great holidays. Be safe. Be safe on the roads, wherever you're traveling. Be safe going to these high school championships in Shreveport area, Natchitoches, traveling to Natchitoches and coming back, whether you're South Louisiana or even North Louisiana. That's the key. Everybody be safe on those highways and don't eat too much like myself. You know, I'm trying not to eat too much. It's hard to do during the holidays. We're going to go ahead and continue our topic. This segment will be coaching changes in college football. We talked about LSU the segment before, but you know, there's a lot more that's going to happen. That's going to happen. I mean, every year, I tell parents this when we do highlight tapes, that you haven't seen anything yet. That you see a few college coaches get fired in November. You see a little bit in December. And then guess what happens in January? Well, you have a lot of NFL jobs open. It just continues and continues and continues. And it never ends until almost spring. And so what's going to happen? If you're listening to the show, a lot of people listening understand this, but a lot of people might not. Pro teams, for the most part, they don't fire their coaches during the season anymore. Not like college coaches. So you're going to have more college coaches lose their jobs, but you're going to have a lot of college coaches leave their jobs. And here's why. The NFL always has 5 or 6 openings come January. Sometimes it's as many as 10. So let's just say there's going to be 5 openings. I'm not even going to say, you're always going to have 5 to 10, okay? Let's say 6. Let's say you have 6 NFL openings by January 5th. By January 1st, you're going to know about these 5 to 10. Once the season's over for these NFL guys, mutually they part. A lot of them are finishing their contracts until they're eliminated from the playoffs. Then some of them get fired. So what does that do to college football? Well, they come after the young minds, the top young talented coaches in college football. And you always see 2 college coaches that get these NFL jobs. Last year, Matt Rule left Baylor to coach the Carolina Panthers, and nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw Matt Rule. Everybody's like, who is Matt Rule? Well, most people didn't even know who Matt Rule was until they said, okay, he's leaving Baylor. Well, Matt Rule was at Temple, brought Temple to some good seasons, and then went to Baylor. And that's how Dave Aranda left LSU. And that's how Joe Brady went to Carolina. And, you know, everybody, if that doesn't happen, okay, if Matt Rule stays at Baylor, does LSU hire Bo Pelini? Does Joe Brady go to Carolina? No. But that quick, in an instance, in January or late December last year, when there's that Baylor opening, nobody thought that would happen. Well, it's going to happen again in college football. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be the Oklahoma coach? Because when this happens, everything changes. It just keeps guys start leaving this place, and then you got to replace a coach at that school, and then the NFL grabs this coach from that college, and then that college needs a coach, and then those coaches leave. But really study this. Dan Mullen from Florida. I think LSU ruined his season. And then he lost Alabama in the championship game in Atlanta. Dan Mullen is an offensive genius. Sometimes it just doesn't work out for him in college, and he might think, hey, man, let's go pro. And if there's the right job open, Dan Mullen could leave Florida. It could happen. I'm not saying it will. It could happen. Oklahoma could lose their coach. He's a great offensive mind. A lot of teams are interested in him. Notre Dame. Coach Kelly could leave Notre Dame for a pro job. It's time. I mean, he's been there for a long time. He left Cincinnati to go to Notre Dame. He's this is 3rd playoff appearance for Notre Dame. His 2nd time he's played Alabama. But Coach Kelly could, if he loses again, this will be 3 times he's lost in the playoffs. If he loses to Bama again, he might could be a pro coach. He'd be a great pro coach. But if Notre Dame has to replace their coach, again, it's going to shuffle everything up. And let's take a look at what's going on. Texas looks like they're going to keep their coach for 1 more year. And then again, they might still let him go. And then, you know, USC, there's talk that they could replace their coach still. There's still talk that, you know, Alabama, what if Nick Saban wins his national championship to one up the Bear Bryant? I mean, he has more national championships than Bear Bryant. He's always wanted to break that, and he won't publicly say that. But there's a lot of people near and close to Saban that thinks he'll retire if he wins the national championship this year. And you can't predict anything with Saban, because when he left LSU, nobody had a clue. It's just the way he is. He's not going to, like, prepare, I'm leaving. And sometimes he changes. You know, people change their mind. He's almost 70 years old. It's possible he could leave if he wins a national championship. There's a lot of LSU fans that say they hope Alabama wins it, because if he wins it, he might decide to retire from college football, because he won the most national championships over the Bear Bryant. He's tied with the Bear, and it means a lot to him, because the Bear is like everything in Alabama. But let's talk about some of the coaching changes in college football that has already happened. You know, Southern Miss had fired Jay Hobson, who's a former player at Ole Miss, and I thought Jay did a good job, but he was replaced by Tulane assistant Will Hall, who's 40 years old. Will Hall's a good hire. He's an offensive mind. He's a great hire. Gary Anderson was fired at Utah State. And, you know, he didn't have a great career there. I mean, he was 51-37. He was okay. He was at Oregon State as a head coach at one time. You know, they hired Blake Anderson, another Anderson. It's kind of confusing. They fired Gary Anderson, hired Blake Anderson from Arkansas State. He was 51-37. Basically, you got the same kind of guy that you hired that you fired. You know, same kind of trade out. South Carolina parted with Will Muschamp. And they hired legendary coach Frank Beamer's son, Shane Beamer, who's been around the block for a few years now as a coach. He's an Oklahoma assistant. I don't know how Shane's going to do. It's his first job. I was shocked they hired Shane. I mean, Shane's a good coach. He's never been a head coach. It's kind of a hard first job in the SEC. It really is. But the good thing is Shane is, you know, grew up in Virginia. So he's from the Carolinas area. He was a tight ends coach and H-back coach for Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley, again, I think could leave for the NFL. But Shane, you know, Shane might be the best fit for South Carolina, kind of like Ed Orgeron and LSU, you know, from Louisiana, that type of stuff. You know, South Alabama fired Steve Campbell, who's a longtime coach, and they hired Kane Womack, who's a 33-year-old assistant on South Alabama's current staff as D coordinator. He's the youngest coach in the FBS now at 33. Isn't that something? Kane Womack is the youngest coach at 33 years old for South in a Mobile, Alabama. It's a good job. Matt Viatar was fired at ULM of Monroe. Here's one as a head scratcher. They hired Terry Bowden. You know, Terry was a great coach at Auburn in his day. He went to Akron and had okay time as a head coach at Akron College. He was at North Alabama and did really great there, a D3 school, D3 NAIA, kind of about the same. You know, ULM keeps hiring names. I was really wanting ULM to hire a guy that was just the best coach for the job, not a name. You know, Terry, I hope he does well. You know, I really do. Bobby Bowden's son, you know, brother of Tommy Bowden that was at Clemson. But Terry's toward the end of his career, kind of like Matt Viatar. They're just toward the end of their career. I don't know why they didn't hire. I would have hired a high school coach from Louisiana, actually, if you want to know the truth. I mean, you got Fatita out there with Catholic High. You know, you've got other high school coaches in the state that are not too old but at the right age. But, I mean, just I don't know why they keep wanting the name, you know. And I don't know. I hope Terry does well. Maybe it's a short fix because I don't see him being a five-year guy. Maybe a three-year? Maybe five? I just don't understand, you know, that again, you go for name or you go for the best maybe X's and O's coach, but right here they went for the name. And again, I hope he turns ULM of Monroe around. I hope he can do it, and I hope he really wants to stay long term. We'll see. I mean, you know, this is toward the end of Terry Bowden's career. Illinois let go Lovie Smith, you know, the former Chicago Bears head coach. Here's the best hire. Britt Bielema, you know, the former Arkansas head coach, former Wisconsin head coach. I think Britt Bielema is going to do great at Illinois. I mean, he's from Illinois. I got a chance to meet Britt Bielema at a coaches convention about 3 years ago in Nashville. Man, what a charismatic guy. Big guy, you know, 6'6", 340 pounds, big guy, you know, former lineman. He's going to recruit Illinois like no one has seen in years. In years. I'm going to go ahead and predict now, Britt Bielema will have Illinois winning. Lovie Smith got talent to Illinois, but he went too much on junior college and transfers. Again, you can go too much. He didn't recruit the high school talent like they needed him to. He really couldn't do it. And Illinois has a bunch of talent. Just in Chicago, they have 50 Division I prospects every year. Just in Chicago, Illinois. The state of Illinois has a lot of talent. And Britt Bielema will get some of that talent. He will. Northwestern College, you know, in the Big Ten, they're in Chicago. Notre Dame is not far away in South Bend, Indiana. But Illinois needs to win those recruiting battles against Michigan State, Iowa. Iowa's been coming in cherry-picking Illinois for years. But I think Britt Bielema will stop that with Iowa. He'll stop that with Michigan State. And he'll stop it with some schools coming in the state to get the top play. He'll get the linemen, and that's what they need. Auburn fired Gus Malzahn. Here's a hire that's not popular with the fans at Auburn is a guy by the name of Brian Harsin from Boise State. He was 69-19 with Boise State since 2014. He was 3-2 in bowl games. He went to 5 bowl games. You know, this is either going to be a bust or the greatest hire ever. The only thing is that Brian's not from the South. He's not from the SEC world. But neither was Nick Saban. Nick Saban was at Michigan State, Kent State, comes to LSU, and people said, well, he's not from here. Well, throw that out. Because if you can coach, recruit, develop, and hire coaches, you're going to be okay. And this guy's got a phenomenal record at Boise State. Tough place to win, tough place to recruit. The only thing is he's got to get used to the recruiting landscape and learn the state of Alabama, learn the South. But he did a phenomenal job. He's a great coach. Now, it didn't work for Coach Moorhead at Mississippi State. He was from Pennsylvania, came from Penn State. Some people thought in Starksville, hey, the guy's not from here, it's not going to work out. And they were right. It wasn't a good fit. But it was more of not a fit than maybe where he's from. You know what I mean? He just didn't fit, you know, what they needed. Coach Moorhead was let go, and he's still, you know, coaching now because he's a great, great offensive mind. But will this guy be a fit for Auburn? We will see. We will see fast, right? You know, he replaced Chris Peterson on that staff. Remember, Chris Peterson went to Washington Huskies. But this is the first Power 5 job for the guy. You know, Nick Saban was at Michigan State before. You know, Moorhead was at least Penn State as an assistant coach, as a coordinator. He's 44 years old, the right age, but this is his first Power 5 job. And Auburn's not going to be, you know, the easiest place to please people. It's really not. I mean, they want to win now. And I don't know if they're realistic at Auburn. I hope everybody enjoyed the show today. Wednesday's show will possibly have a guest. We'll keep talking about the high school championships from today and Tuesday. And Friday, I'm going to release my Bayou 25, top 25 players in Louisiana that I saw play the last 3-4 years. We're going to narrow it down to the top 25. I used to do the Bayou 25 when we had magazines go out every quarter But now we just do one preview magazine. And I want to remind everybody, you can still go to our website and get your North Magazine and South Magazine copies or your digital copy at LAFootballMagazine.com. We had the first team, all Louisiana team recruiting section, just the first teams in it for North and South. Our second team and third team, you can hear our podcast. Just look at all our past podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. And you can also see it on our website. Jace Lejeune's put all the second, third team, all Louisiana teams on our website. I think he also included a way to get the first team to look at it from the magazine. The magazine's also got all 300 schools, high schools, all 12 colleges, big recruiting section, and a story from each side of the state. Again, hope everybody has a great day, night, and morning whenever you hear this show or this podcast, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.